Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Guerrilla Radio. It's time here on Truth Emerges Radio. This is your host, Anarchy Austin, and we've got the lovely Liberty Lisa. Lisa? Thought we had the lovely Liberty Lisa. Apparently she has her phone on mute. Today's topic, we're going to talk about assault on the individual, the collectivist agenda. We'll have open lines, 347-855-8301. Press 1 to participate. Let me know you're in the queue. Hanging out here talking about the assault on the individual, the collectivist agenda. There's the lovely Liberty Lisa.
Yeah, I don't know what was happening. It happened that way last week, too, where I didn't have it on mute, and you just couldn't bring me in for some reason.
Oh, I brought you in. It just was weird. I didn't hear you. I thought you had it on mute. Well, I'm going to roll the intro, and then we're going to talk about the assault on the individual, the collectivist agenda.
Okie doke.
Yeah, what better time than now? Boy, the intro's garbled too. Blog Talk is sounding really good today.
I don't know. It hung up on me yesterday. You know, I had my show last night, and it literally hung up on me. And I had to call back in, and then my intro played again while I was off.
Interesting.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's really weird. Yep.
Well,
today, we're having some fun with quotes. It's guess which collectivist said it. And I've got a bunch of quotes we're going to go over. But first, I want to start with our fearless leader, our puppet in chief, and his message at the United Nations. It was pretty clear. His message was clear. The nations of the world must forfeit their own security, both physical and economic, and their cultural identities to advance the one global order. This was from Tuesday morning addressing the United Nations General Assembly, defending globalization and attacking those that wish to defend their national sovereignty and interests. There's another quote. I am convinced in the long run, giving up some freedom of action enhances our security.
Ugh. Yeah. That's so funny. You know what they are? They're salesmen. Or saleswomen.
Yeah.
Either or.
Exactly. Either or. They are. They're just puppets. I mean, these collectivist quotes are really amazing. I got some good ones in here.
Yeah, it's frustrating
really good
because, you know, in America, land of the free, you know, supposedly, haha. we don't have that sort of mentality. I mean, you know, we've always gone off of the belief system, you know, of America, you know, being its own country and standing independent and being strong and all these other things. So it's going counter against all the things that were set up by the founding fathers. So I think it's going to be a hard sell for a lot of people, because a lot of people, you know, are still into the Constitution, although that is changing too. I mean, there's a lot of people who are buying into the collectivism and the communism, really, socialism, communism, and realizing that, you know, it doesn't work with separated nation. So.
Well, I mean, the whole agenda is assaulting the individual. It's all this collectivist, this Borg, this socialist, communist agenda. And the liberals are really pushing it, but the conservatives think that they're all about the individual. They're just pushing a different flavor of socialism in reality. I'm going to give you two quotes. The first one is, this is discussing the internet. First one is, we have to talk to them about maybe in certain areas closing the internet up in some way. Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech. These are foolish people. Do you know who that was?
Yeah, that was Donald Trump.
All right, and then number two, we have to deny them online space, she said. Clinton acknowledged that this is complicated. You're going to hear all the usual complaints, freedom of speech, etc. They sound pretty much the same to me.
Well, they look different.
Ah, yes. And good old Nicola Poland Sipolin has made a bunch of comments on the show promo. She actually posted a Franklin D. Roosevelt's quote, presidents are selected, not elected.
Yeah.
Got another quote here from the Trumpster. The line of make America great again, the phrase, that was mine. I came up with it about a year ago, and I kept using it, and everybody's using it. They are all loving it. I don't know. I guess I should copyright it, maybe have copyrighted it. That's Trump claiming that he was the first person to coin the phrase in March 2015. Except that Ronald Reagan used the slogan over 35 years ago in his campaign. I'm gonna go back and forth. I'm gonna give them fair time. Hillary Clinton had a quote. I admire Margaret Sanger enormously. Her courage, her tenacity, her vision. Do you know who Margaret Sanger is, Lisa?
Oh, yeah, Planned Parenthood. She was a big feminist that helped start Planned Parenthood. And actually, she actually came right out saying that abortion would be great to help get rid of a lot of the black race.
Right, yes. Her quote is, colored people are like human weeds and need to be exterminated. Yeah, she's big in the eugenics movement. And this is a woman that Hillary Clinton is embracing and putting forward that she admires. Amazing. It's truly amazing too. Then you got FDR. They called me a socialist too. When I saved the country from the Great Depression. which he really didn't do. That's another story. Then I got another Trumpster quote. I love this one. I'm a bit of a P.T. Barnum. I make stars out of everyone. Another Trumpster quote. I've got the hottest brand in the world. And then I've got six Hillary quotes all lined up. First one is, number one, we're going to take things away from you on behalf of the common good. Number two, it's time for a new beginning, for an end to government of the few, by the few, and for the few, and to replace it with shared responsibility for shared prosperity. Number three, we can't just let business as usual go on. That means something has to be taken away from some people. Number four, we have to build a political consensus, and that requires people to give up a little bit of their own turf in order to create this common ground. Number five, I certainly think the free market has failed. Number six, it's time to send a clear message to what has become the most profitable sector in the entire economy, that they are being watched. This all ties back into, this is a Hillary Clinton quote from a speech at the at a Democratic fundraiser back in June 2004. Many of you are well enough off that the tax cuts may have helped you. We're saying that for America to get back on track, we're probably going to cut that short and not give it to you. We're going to take things away from you on behalf of the common good. Amazing. Are you there, Lisa?
Yeah, you know what? The common good, that reminds me of like these vaccines, you know? Like they're trying to force them on everyone except for quote-unquote herd immunity. You know, no one has a choice in the matter. It's only what's best for society. But the truth of the matter is, those are things that don't belong in people. Now that I know more about vaccines, like now that I've done a little research, I'm petrified even more of them. I mean, I used to have a bad feeling about them. I've never done anything. I've never injected anything into my body like that since, you know, I was very, very young. The only thing I did was a contrast agent, which was a big mistake, for some x-rays that were taken before my surgery. I had no idea that the contrast agent was so deadly for you. But anyway, this collectivist mentality it's not good. I mean, you know, as a Christian, I've looked at it several different ways. The apostles did come together and bring their wealth together, sell everything together, and live communally, but it wasn't forced. It was by choice.
Right. Well, that's the difference. Me, myself, I'm an anarchist / voluntarist. I have no problem if you want to be in a communist commune and do your thing with a group of people, if you all want to hold hands and sing Kumbaya and live a communist lifestyle, I have no problem with that. That's your decision. It's when these things are forced upon me and this common good, this social contract, this collective common good is forced upon me, that's when I have a problem. I mean, voluntarism, I have no problem. You can do what you like. I've got some great quotes here. Here's one. Since he is of no use anymore, there is no gain if he lives and no loss if he dies. Pol Pot. I did not join the resistance movement to kill people, to kill the nation. Look at me now. Am I a savage person? My conscience is clear. Again, Pol Pot. That then this is how they wrap this collective and these megalomaniac things. Here's another quote of Pol Pot. I want you to know that everything I did it for my country. here's another quote. What was that on?
You know what your favorite thing is? Government.
What? Oh, yeah. This, my favorite thing is government. Speaking of which, here's a great quote, too. How fortunate for governments that the people they administer don't think. You know who that was?
I don't know who.
Adolf Hitler. It's
what was
the
it
truth
again?
That matters. Adolf Hitler, yes. How fortunate for governments that the people they administer don't think. See,
wow.
That's the whole thing about this collectivism. It's all feels. It's all about the feels. It's not logic. I mean, yeah, it sounds great and it feels good, you know, that you know, people are forced to help the needy. But what these collectivists and what these liberals seem to forget is the government has their hand and rakes so much of it, and there's so much grift and waste. And where do they get this money to start with? They take it from other people at gunpoint. They're forced to comply. That's not charity. That's extortion.
Yeah, it's robbing. It's robbing the people. You know, when you're forced to do something, they're like, this is the best for all. Now give it to us so we can give it to others after we've taken our 80% cut.
Right, exactly. I'm just going to go off these quotes, and then we're going to have a free forum afterwards. Here's another famous Hitler quote. It is not truth that matters, but victory. And here these are some great quotes. I use emotion for the many and reserve reason for the few. How about this one, Lisa? Humanitarianism is the expression of stupidity and cowardice. And here's some quotes about propaganda. By the skillful and sustained use of propaganda, one can make a people see even heaven as hell or an extremely wretched life as paradise. Here's another one. All propaganda has to be popular and has to accommodate itself to the comprehension of the least intelligent of those whom it seeks to reach. Gary. And the thing is you see all these things that all these quotes from these megalomaniac collectivist leaders in play right now.
Right.
You can see it. Here we go. This is a great quote too. This is someone different. I'll let you guess who this is. Passivity is fatal to us. Our goal is to make the enemy passive. That's Mao Zedong.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Here's another Mao quote. To read too many books is harmful.
What?
Yeah. To read too many books is harmful.
Ugh.
How about this one? Communism is not love. Communism is a hammer which we use to crush the enemy.
Wow.
Or this one. Political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. Sound familiar, folks? Here's one for the feminists. A genuine equality between the sexes can only be realized in the process of the socialist transformation of society as a whole. Now we're going to get to another collectivist, communist, mass murderer. It is enough that the people know there was an election. The people who cast the votes decide nothing. The people who count the votes decide everything. You know who that is?
Mm-mm.
That's Joseph Stalin. One death is a tragedy. 1 million is a statistic. Again, Joseph Stalin. Ideas are more powerful than guns. Why would we not let our enemies have guns? Why should we let them have ideas? Oh, we would not let our enemies have guns. Why should we let them have ideas?
Wow. I mean, if you study, you'll find basically that, you know, all the proof that you need that the people in control are megalomaniacs, that they're insane, and that their goal is to completely control us and completely dominate us, take all of our money, take our land, take our property, take our guns, and then just dominate and control us. They're sick.
This is all about the power. And it's always, these megalomaniacs always come up with this nonsense that they're doing it for the people. They're doing it for themselves. Wake up, people. This whole agenda is about power and control in the hands of the few, no matter what they tell you. Oh, and then this is from one of the guys I like. Without anarchy, there would be chaos. That's Jeffrey Tucker. Then I love this quote, too. This is from Morris Tannehill from The Market of Liberty. Not only is democracy mystical nonsense, it is also immoral. If one man has no right to impose his wishes upon another, then 10 million men have no right to impose their wishes on the one. Since the initiation of force is wrong, and the assent of even the most overwhelming majority can never make it morally permissible, opinions, even majority opinions, neither create truth nor alter facts. A lynch mob is democracy in action. So much for mob rule. That one made you quiet over there, Lisa.
Yeah, nothing makes me quiet.
Okay.
Just kidding.
And then this is one from Wilhelm Röpke. In spite of its alluring name, the welfare state stands or falls by compulsion. It is compulsion imposed upon us with the state's power to punish noncompliance. Once this is clear, it is equally clear that the welfare state is an evil, the same as every restriction of freedom. And then I love this one, too. This one's from Lawrence W. Reed. This one is a classic. Collectivists see the world the way Mr. Magoo did. You remember Mr. Magoo, right?
Mr. Magoo with big glasses, yes.
Right. Collectivists see the world the way Mr. Magoo did. as one big blur. They homogenize people in a communal blender, sacrificing the discrete features that make us who we are. And I love this one, too. This is from Albert J. Nock. I wonder how many such men in America would know that communism, the New Deal, fascism, Nazism, are merely so many trade names for collectivist statism, like the trade names for toothpaste, which are all exactly alike except for the flavoring.
Toothpaste.
And then this one
is poison.
Toothpaste is poison. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Most of it is. And then I've got a quote here from Bryant McGill. A world of fully developed individuals is immune to the cult of collectivism. And I have one from one of my favorites, Lysander Spooner. No man can rightfully be required to join or support an association whose protection he does not desire. And I have another. This is a great quote from Frederick Bastiat. He wrote a thesis, a novel called The Law. It's an amazing book. When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men in a society, over the course of time, they create for themselves a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. And then I have this meme that Lee Pierre posted, my social contract. The social contract, a vague notion to which no one has explicitly agreed, but that supposedly authorizes a certain class of people to steal, imprison, and kill in order to benefit the greater good, however they define it.
The greater good. God, doesn't that statement make your skin crawl?
Yes, it does. I posted a meme and had a discussion on this on YouTube videos before. This common good or this greater good, it's a logical fallacy. If something's not good for you, how can it be a greater good? This is all this twisted propaganda we get from this collectivist and socialist and communist and Nazist and these controlling mindsets. It's all social conditioning and social programming and indoctrination, this greater good. If something's bad for you, it's bad for you. Do you something bad for yourself and step back and say, oh, this it's okay because it's for the greater good? What a logical fallacy that this greater good or common good is.
It's just
if
another
it's not
method
good
of
for you,
controlling.
Lisa. Yeah, if it's not good for you, Lisa, how's it good for the common good? Are you common or... Or I don't understand these.
You have to understand
right.
It's your sacrifice for everyone else because everyone else wants you to do it. Ha ha ha. I think it's horrible. You know, God gave us freedom of choice in our lives. You know, that's what he did when he gave us his son, Jesus. He literally gave us the choice to choose each day whom we're going to serve, choose what we're going to do, choose life, choose death, choose good, choose evil, whatever we want to choose. And this whole system that's set up is evil and oppressive. Evil and oppressive because it's taking away the power of choice in people's lives. And I understand not all choices are good. However,
the way God set it up is we would have the opportunity to make that decision on our own. There was no collective greater good. You know, when the apostles met together and the people met together, they would teach one another, you know, the good, how to be a good Christian and how to be a good witness and how to live like Jesus. But no one was forced to do anything. We all have choices.
And as we should have individual choice, but they don't want you to have a choice with this collectivist, this Borg agenda. They want you to do what's best for the common good, the greater good. I mean, screw what's good for you. It's what's good for the common good. You have to follow the social contract. And I'm going to give Nicola Cipollone another shout out here. She posted this meme. This is a Franklin D. Roosevelt quote, but she added with it, conspiracy theorists are uneducated. So I guess I'm uneducated, Lisa, and I guess you are too. We're just a bunch of dummies. You know, that we're a bunch of dummies that would actually think that people in power with wealth would conspire amongst themselves and plot and plan to consolidate and keep that power. I mean, you know, we're stupid.
It's essentially the people who aren't conspiracy theorists that are actually not as intellectual. Because at least with a conspiracy theorist, they're looking at things and saying, okay, I don't have an objective in mind. You know, just because I was trained a certain way, just because I was raised a certain way, just because society tells me a certain way, I'm not going to go for a conclusion based on those factors. I'm going to look at both sides. It's called critical thinking. Look it up. I'm going to look at both sides and come to the conclusion that the facts take me to. That's really all a conspiracy theorist is they're really conspiracy realists. They have looked at the facts. And they've taken wherever the facts lead. And they're not afraid. They're not afraid to stand up for what that is, you know?
Exactly. And I'm with you 100%. I like to call it a conspiracy factualist, actually. We look at the facts. And it's obvious. It's obvious with all these lies we're getting from the lamestream media and such that there are conspiracies. And I mean, conspiracy factualists have blown the lid on many government conspiracies. Them testing STDs on black people in Alabama. Them spraying toxins, including radioactive isotopes, in Missouri and studying it on the population. Them putting soldiers in harm's way in nuclear testing right here in Nevada. These are not conspiracies. These are facts. MK Ultra. A fact.
Yeah, the government's
Operation Paperclip.
Project Paperclip. Yep. You know, Operation Northwoods.
Facts. Yeah, these are facts. Well, anyways, the quote she put in her little meme is, democracy cannot succeed unless those who express their choice are prepared to choose wisely. The real safeguard of democracy, therefore, is education. Now, is that propaganda or what? I just want to break this down again and read this again. Democracy cannot succeed unless those who express their choice are prepared to choose wisely. How are you prepared to choose wisely? The real safeguard of democracy, therefore, is education. So you're indoctrinated in the public education system, and you are giving information via the government to make these choices. And you're given the choices from the government too. They've got the market cornered.
They got the market cornered on everything. You know, until people actually do something like what I've done, where I've gone into the court system and fought for 5 years, you would realize that we have no constitution, we have no freedom. You know, we're basically little death slaves. You know, little cattle. That's the way they look at us. And you're not going to win unless you're a part of that club. Just how it goes.
Exactly.
You know, but you would never realize that unless you got into the battle yourself. I've seen too much. I've heard too much. I've studied too much. I've read too much. The people who make fun of conspiracy theorists are really lacking discipline to go in and study these things for themselves. They shouldn't be making comments about something they know nothing about.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing that most of these people, there's a few debunkers that actually are pretty intelligent, but they suffer from confirmation bias and cognitive dissonance in my eyes. But for the vast majority of people pointing fingers at people like you and I, and probably a lot of listeners here, calling us conspiracy theorists, they're the ones that lack the critical thinking and lack an objective view of the facts and analyzing said facts. They're scared. They're scared. It's scary. It's scary when you're awake and aware, isn't it, Lisa? It's very scary.
I would not be with Austin if he was dumb. I cannot stand. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. We wouldn't have lasted 3 months, much less, you know, what, 3 years now?
Yes.
Yeah, so no, there's no way.
Yeah, here's another quote from Moxie Will. Collectives can't make money from virtues. They make money from weakness. Where there are no weak, they create the weak. Cowards hate strong people. Then here's one from my good friend Larkin Rose. Irony. Taking a 170-year-old envy-based philosophy, which has led to the murder of several hundred million human beings and the oppression of billions more, and calling it progressive.
Larkin.
How'd you know who that was?
Because
here's
you
another
love
one from my
Rose.
Yes, I do like Larkin Rose a lot. I don't love him. I love you, dumbass. But I do appreciate
you
Larkin Rose.
He like complimented me and insulted me all in the same sentence. How loving and kind.
That is loving and kind.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
mean, if you didn't have your shit together for the most part and weren't so intelligent yourself, I wouldn't have made it 2-3 months with you either.
Yeah. I mean, we've gone through some rocky times. I had my surgery right before I came out here, so I wasn't really myself for a little while. So you were really sweet to take care of me through that.
Yeah, we've had our ups and downs for the listeners here, but don't think that we've got like this fairy tale life going on. I mean, we're human beings and we're individuals and we don't always see things eye to eye, and it's a real world thing we have going on here. I mean, we work through our issues though.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't want Absolutely. I don't want everyone out there to think that we've got like this love, you know, this perfect la-di-da fairy tale romance going on. I don't think there's such a thing, is there, Lisa? Even
I've encountered in 46 years of life. I haven't encountered it, but you know,
even Brangelina are breaking up.
Are they?
Yeah, they're on the breakup thing again. Who knows?
I don't believe it.
Now we'll see. Here's another quote from Moxie Will. It's from his book, Something That Will Change Your Life. If we lose our significance, character, we fall in ruin. The exploiters take over and sell freedom from fear, from guilt, from want. They excuse all corrupt actions. Collective status degenerates the human spirit. And this is one that you'll like. This is from Jacob Wisniewski. The only common good is the common liberty to pursue individual goods. And here's another one of his quotes. Individual liberty may be unable to solve every social problem, but collective violence is unable to solve any social problem. And I got another meme from Nicola. I mean, every time I see that name, I think of Ricola. So I'm going to give her props, or him his props. Here's the quote. This is from Lenny Kravitz. It's very important to vote. People died for this right.
You know what? I just looked it up. I know this is stupid and lame, and people will probably be mad at me for doing this. I just looked up if Angelina and Brad were actually getting a divorce. I know. That is the blue pill. But there's been rumors of that for so long. I was like, I don't believe it. But yeah, I guess they did file. Angelina filed in September 15th, 2 years and 1 month after they were married. It's funny. I didn't believe it. I had to look it up for myself.
Well, they lived together for like 10 years before they got married.
I know, and they have all those kids that they, you know,
adopt.
I don't know. That sucks. I mean, you know, I know everybody's like, who cares, celebrities or whatever. But I hate to see a divorce, especially with children involved. I feel bad for the kids. Hopefully, they're gonna work it out amicably.
That here's an Abraham Lincoln quote that Nicola posted. Yeah, this is the guy that during the Civil War was sending slaves back to slave hands in the South. But remember that the Civil War was all about ending slavery, war propaganda. Here's his quote. As I would not be a slave, so I would not be a master. This expresses my idea of democracy. He's such a hypocrite. He is such an evil president. He killed so many Native Americans. And this guy who supposedly was fighting the Civil War for freedom of the slaves, he was collecting and sending slaves back to the South during the war. It's all a big farce. It's all a facade. And this guy, he's considered such a hero, and he was responsible for millions of deaths of the Native Americans.
Yeah.
And I got to get in some Ayn Rand quotes. People are not embracing collectivism because they have accepted bad economics.
they are accepting bad economics because they have embraced collectivism.
Yep.
It's true.
Yeah. It's backwards world, that is for sure. I mean, really, honestly, the Bible forecasts all of this, that there's going to be one world leader, one world government, the Antichrist setting himself up, or one world monetary system, folks. That's all in the Bible, and that's they're setting up all of those things. That's what we're watching. That's what this is all about. It's all about biblical prophecy. And no, they're not trying to follow the Bible. There's no way they would do that. They want to discredit the Bible. They're Satanists. They're Luciferians. That's contrary to the Bible. But they're playing their role because they have no choice but to play it because it is prophesied. It is written, and it will come to pass.
Here's another classic from Frank Chodorov. When people say, let's do something about it, they mean, let's get a hold of the political machinery so that we can do something to somebody else. And that somebody is invariably you. Then here's another one from Jeffrey Tucker. Government is a gang, but not merely as meritorious as a private gang because it claims legitimacy. It pillages and uses violence, but under the cover of law, and seeks legitimacy not through competition, but through the myth of the social contract. And here's a quick, simple one from Ludwig von Mises from the Mises Institute, founded in his honor. Every socialist is a disguised dictator. Oh, and then here, I'm gonna read a Nicola. Here's another one of this is from Ryan Cohen. Again, this one's labeled poor conspiracy theorist. Here is your propaganda in full swing. Conspiracy theory is the ultimate refuge of the powerless. If you cannot change your own life, it must be that some greater force controls the world.
What was that? Read that again.
Conspiracy theory is the ultimate refuge of the powerless. If you cannot change your own life, be that some greater force controls the world.
Oh, brother. That actually
so
sounds like
Ryan Cohen. That sounds exactly like that came from like a Tavistock think tank.
Yeah, or a secular humanist. Like, oh wow, shame on you for having a grander worldview. Hello, what about like God? What about the belief in God? Wouldn't that be a grander worldview? You know.
And the world leaders
have grand world views, and we're just supposed to sit back and go, don't say anything. Don't say anything. You'll be labeled a conspiracy theorist. Just go along.
Right.
Just walk in line. Just stand in line. It's okay. Just give up everything. Give up your rights. Give up your freedom. Give up everything. You know what? There is a point in time when obeying, you know, Jesus said to walk in peace, you know, and walk in love, but there's a point in time, you know, when they're killing others and that sort of thing, when it's your duty to obey God rather than man.
Then this one is a classic. This is from Friedrich Nietzsche. State is the name of the coldest of all cold monsters. coldly it lies, and this lie slips from its mouth. I, the state, am the people.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And then this one's a good one from Mark Kuna. Collectivist ethical principle. Man is not an end to himself, but is only a tool to serve the ends of others. Whether those others, in quotation marks, are a dictator's gang, the nation, society, the race, the gods, the majority, the community, the tribe, etc., is irrelevant. The point is that man in principle must be sacrificed to others.
That actually reminds me of that one show we did with the anarcho-communist, which, come on, anarcho-communist. It doesn't even make sense.
Right.
But I was like, oh, brother, here we go. Let's listen to this. And this guy gets on, and he's like, you know, you're only in this society that they create, this ideal society they're talking about, you're only allowed a certain amount of acres, and you have to work those
right.
acres, or it'll be taken away from you. I said, oh, I see. And I said, what if the person who owns the acres gets cancer or sick or something like that? Then the society's just going to come and take their way of making an income. Is that the way it goes? Well, I hadn't thought of that. Or you know, then he was like, you have to, if somebody needs bottled water, you have to give it to them or something like that, or you're in trouble with the society. I'm like, oh, so it's like forced. You know, how are you going to enforce that? You know, it sounds to me like the Salem witch trials. I mean, seriously, it's you get upset with your neighbor about something, and then you go to the group, you go to the town meeting or whatever, and make your accusation out. And if anyone else has, you know, maybe Farmer Bob ticked you off because he cut you off on the road, or maybe his dog took a crap in your yard, and you're like, yeah, let's get him. Ah. I mean, really? That's an idea for society? I'm like, it is so scary to me, the lack of thought process that goes into a lot of these ideals of this, you know, utopian society. People don't think through human nature. They don't understand human nature enough to even fantasize about something like that. It's a little frightening.
All right. Now I'm going to go. This one's a little bit long, but it's a good one. This is from another friend of mine, Robert Higgs, who actually retired. He's in Mexico, but he was in tight with the Ludwig von Mises Institute. Here's his quote. Just bear with me and take this in. Government as we now know it in the USA and other economically advanced countries is so manifestly horrifying, so corrupt, counterproductive, and outright vicious, that one might well wonder how it continues to enjoy so much popular legitimacy and to be perceived so widely as not only tolerable, but indispensable. The answer, in overwhelming part, may be reduced to a two-part formula, bribes and bamboozlement, classically bred in circuses. Under the former rubric falls the vast array of government benefits and goodies of all sorts, from corporate subsidies and privileges to professional grants and contracts to welfare payments and health care for low-income people and other members of the lumpen proletariat. Under the latter rubric falls such measures as government schools, the government's lapdog news media, and the government's collaboration with producers of professional sporting events and Hollywood films. Seen as a semi-integrated whole, these measures give current governments a strong hold on the public's allegiance and instill in the masses and the elites alike a deep fear of anything that seriously threatens the status quo. It's a good one. Then, of course, I had to get Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
A libertarian is someone who believes, of course, in personal liberty. And liberty is a personal thing. It is not collective. You don't gain liberty because you belong to a group. So we don't talk about women's rights or gay rights or anything else. Everybody has an absolute equal right as an individual, and it comes to them naturally. Then I got another Jacob Wisniewski quote. Totalitarianism begins with using the word we without every I's permission.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
It's everything in this collectivist mindset is we. And I've said this before, and people don't like it. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with taking care of me and myself and my family and my loved ones, taking care of them first? And again, I state this all the time. Then I'm in a better position to help others through true charity. And we're at the top of the hour, Lisa. Wow, the hour went so fast.
Well, it was nice. It was fun talking about the quotes. There's just, hopefully it got some of the listeners thinking, you know, wow, these are our leaders.
I'm not done. I was just stating I'm gonna push through a little bit longer. I'm not feeling the best today, gang. Sorry, but it's the top of the hour. I want to thank our sponsors and play some ads. Hang tough, Liberty Lisa. We'll be back in a few minutes, guys. Of course, we always thank and we're so appreciative to Dabco Transportation and Earl Conlon and the guys at Dabco Transportation. We really appreciate everything you've done for us. If you have any moving needs, check out Dabco Transportation. You can find them online or write down the phone number as I play the ad.
Pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's running like I never before.
Hey folks, this is the Mouth, and if you need something moved, you need to go through Dabco Transportation. Family-owned and operated, Dabco Transportation specializes in pad wrap fixtures to retail stores throughout the country, as well as furniture transportation, pad trap and box furniture from California to Arizona to all points east. Be it truckload, LTL, rollout, exclusive use, or expedited, Dabco is here to service their clients safely, efficiently, and quickly. So if you need something moved within the continental U.S., contact Dabco Transportation at 609-296-9121 or contact them directly at dabcotrans.com. That's dabcotrans.com.
But I could never make believe it's all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Who is getting your money? If you are being hijacked by corruption in your government, you will quickly realize that you are stuck with no way out. Find out how your life, family, and assets can be stolen from you while you are the one paying for it. Join me, Debbie Carroll at the Fourth Branch, The Truth Emerges, on Blog Talk Radio, Thursday nights from 6 to 8 Pacific Time. We need everyone on board to understand what is happening and put a stop to this evil corruption.
This is indeed a disturbing universe.
Yes, all I'm offering is the truth. On Unraveling the Matrix with me, your host, Austin Thomas. Yeah, we like to mess with the taboo stuff that you're not going to hear or see on the lamestream media. Now that you're awake, be aware. Be aware what's in play. CIA, Mossad banking, money laundering, and international organized crime joint venture. Imagine that.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
Well, we know how these elections are all on the straight and narrow worldwide.
Unraveling the Matrix with Austin Thomas. Saturday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Truth Emergence Radio Network.
I'm hoping that they're listening to us here on Truth Emerges Network.
I have a few questions for my colleagues. What if our foreign policy of the past century is deeply flawed and has not served our national security interests? What if we wake up one day and realize that the terrorist threat is a predictable consequence of our meddling in the affairs of others? It has nothing to do with us being free and prosperous. What if propping up repressive regimes in the Middle East endangers both the United States and Israel? What if occupying countries like Iraq and Afghanistan and bombing Pakistan is directly related to the hatred directed toward us? What if someday it dawns on us that losing over 5,000 American military personnel in the Middle East since 9/11 is not a fair trade-off for the loss of nearly 3,000 American citizens, no matter how many Iraqi, Pakistani, and Afghan people are killed or displaced? What if we finally decide that torture, even if called enhanced interrogation technique, is self-destructive and produces no useful information, and that contracting it out to a third world nation is just as evil? What if it is finally realized that war and military spending is always destructive to the economy? What if all wartime spending is paid for through the deceitful and evil process of inflating and borrowing? What if we finally see that wartime conditions always undermine personal liberty? What if conservatives who preach small government wake up and realize that our interventionist foreign policy provides the greatest incentive to expand the government? What if conservatives understood once again that their only logical position is to reject military intervention in managing an empire throughout the world? What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if Obama has no intention of leaving Iraq? What if a military draft is being planned for the war that will spread if our foreign policy is not changed? What if the American people learn the truth, that our foreign policy has nothing to do with national security, that it never changes from one administration to the next? What if war and preparation for war is a racket serving the special interests? What if President Obama is completely wrong about Afghanistan and turns out worse than Iraq and Vietnam put together? What if diplomacy is found to be superior to bombs and bribes in protecting America? What happens if my concerns are completely unfounded? Nothing. But what happens if my concerns are justified and ignored? Nothing good.
You're listening to Guerrilla Radio with Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Join second hour by calling 1-347-855-8301.
All right, everybody, back here on Guerrilla Radio. I'm going to cut it a little short this evening. Just want to give a shout-out to Ella. We appreciate you calling in and listening. We know you're out there, Ella. We see you on the switchboard. Just want to thank you for calling in. And want to finish up with a few quotes here. This is by E.A. Simon. Individuals can only volunteer their will. The collective has no rights if not by the use of force and coercion. Collectivism is not a collection of individuals. It is the complete denial of the individual and its rights. Socialism is not cooperation of individuals. It is the denial of individual rights and individual dignity. Stefan Molyneux, no rules for the rulers is tyranny for the subjects. Freedom for politicians is enslavement for its citizens. Another one by A.E. Simon. Sadly enough, individual liberty remains the ideal of revolutionary thinkers even in the 21st century. Then another one from my good friend Larkin Rose. Give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. Steal a fish from one guy and give it to another and keep doing that on a daily basis, and you'll make the first guy pissed off, but you'll make the second guy lazy and dependent on you. Then you can tell the second guy that the first guy is greedy for wanting to keep the fish he caught. Then the second guy will cheer for you to steal more fish. Then you can prohibit anyone from fishing without getting permission from you. Then you can expand the racket, stealing fish from more people and buying the loyalty of others. Then you can get the recipients of the stolen fish to act as your hired thugs. Then you can, you know the rest. Then one last quote, wrap this up. This is by Mikhail Gorbachev. More socialism means more democracy. Openness and collectivism in everyday life. I want to thank my friend William Blake. He chimed in. He was the first comment on this show post. Collectivists suck. I can't agree anymore, William Blake. I can't agree any more than that. I'm going to cut it short, guys. I'm really not feeling the best today, but I want to thank all the listeners. Thank lovely Liberty Lisa for hanging out with me. The rebroadcast won't be up for about another hour because I'm cutting the show short. We appreciate you here at Truth Emerges Radio. Tomorrow is Thursday. That's Debbie Carroll in the fourth branch. Check her out here on Truth Emerges Radio, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. She's fighting the system, fighting CPS, and doing a great job. God, I love that woman. And then Friday, it's a little bit later. It's 11 p.m. Eastern, that would be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We have Lauren Young, Anarchy Girl, is going to be on, and she's going to have an interesting show. She's going to be discussing the Nephilim, and it's going to be a great show. I'm trying to remember who her special guest was. Let me look it up real quick here. Anarchy Girl, who's your special guest? I'm having a brain freeze. Lauren Kathleen Young.
he is. Let me see, find it real quick here. Gosh, this her page, the Anarchy Girl, she is just rocking. This page is rocking. If you're not part of it, check it out. Anarchy Girl on Facebook. Join. Join. Always great things happening there. And, I mean, this she's getting 1.5 to 2 million views a week. Amazing. Amazing. She's doing amazing things. So check her out Friday. I'm going to wrap it up. I just want to thank again everyone for listening. 520 is just jumping on, and we're getting ready to jump off. If you appreciated the show, appreciate everybody. And a shout-out to AJ the Renegade Smith. He's doing great things on his network and is a part owner here. I'm gonna fade out here with Judge Napolitano, The Right to Be Left Alone.
When we were colonists and were governed by the British King and Parliament, they devised ingenious means to tax us. One of the most hateful was the Stamp Act. It required that every person in the colonies buy a stamp that bore the image of the king and affix that stamp to every piece of paper in his possession. Question: how did the king know if every colonist was complying with the Stamp Act? Answer: the Townshend Act. This abominable law authorized British soldiers to write their own search warrants. Thus, British soldiers knocked on the doors of the colonists' homes and handed them warrants in which they had authorized themselves to enter, ostensibly to look for the stamps. They entered wherever they wanted, and they took whatever they wished. The colonists were so outraged at these self-written search warrants that Parliament actually rescinded the laws that permitted them. But the offenses to personal dignity and the assaults on private property were too deep. We fought a bloody revolution against the government that did this to us. After we won that revolution, we wrote a constitution to assure that these abuses would not happen again. And to that constitution, we added a Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights guaranteed that the government could not on its own assault your natural rights. Among them, that quintessentially American right, the right to be left alone. Today we call this right the right to privacy. The Fourth Amendment requires that the government, before the government can assault your right to privacy and search your possessions, come onto your property, listen to your phone calls, read your mail, monitor your keystrokes on your computer, or even obtain records about you from other sources like doctors, banks, or lawyers. It must present evidence of criminal behavior on your part, under oath to a judge. And only if the judge accepts that evidence, and only if the judge issues a search warrant, may the government legally seek and seize whatever is specifically described in the warrant. No more government knocking on doors in the middle of the night and taking whatever it wished. Regrettably, the federal government has labored mightily to get around all this. Even though every person who works for the government has taken an oath to uphold the Constitution, many of them seem to spend more time avoiding and evading it. In the days after 9/11, Congress enacted the Patriot Act, an abominable piece of legislation which permits federal agents to write their own search warrants. With the Patriot Act, we have come full circle from the days in which a king unleashed soldiers upon us on their own to the present day in which our elected representatives have unleashed federal agents upon us on their own, all in utter disregard for our natural right to be left alone and the constitutional requirements of a judicially issued search warrant. The Patriot Act, perpetrated by a Republican president and Congress, was and is one of the gravest legislative assaults on human freedom. It was harshly criticized at the time by a young Democratic senator from Illinois named Barack Obama. But freedom must look very different from inside the White House than from outside. This morning we learned from the front page of the Wall Street Journal that the Obama Justice Department, without obtaining search warrants, has been using a computer program called Stingray, which manipulates your cell phone to enable the government to follow you whenever the phone is with you. And last month, the Obama Justice Department told the Supreme Court that it has been installing GPS systems on the cars of those without cell phones so it can follow them. And last spring, the Obama Justice Department persuaded the court to let cops break down doors without a search warrant on the basis of what they think they smell from coming behind the doors. And somehow it claims that the Fourth Amendment is no obstacle to all this. What's going on here? Is this really America in 2011, or is it East Germany in 1961? Would the government prefer to watch all of us, to seize our computer records, to listen to our conversations, to break down our doors whenever it wished, without following the Constitution? Yes, it would. Power by nature expands. That's why we have a Constitution, to restrain governmental power. Who would want to live in a society where the government was unrestrained? Have we fought wars against totalitarian governments only to find that we have elected one here at home? Did you even know that the federal government may be using your cell phone to follow you wherever you go? Have we become a nation of sheep? Sadly, the answers to these questions are obvious.
Certain that we stand at a defining hour. Halfway around the world, we are engaged in a great struggle in the skies and on the seas and sands. We know why we're there. We are Americans, part of something larger than ourselves. For two centuries, we've done the hard work of freedom, and tonight, we lead the world in facing down a threat to decency and humanity. What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind: peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law. Such is a world worthy of our struggle and worthy of our children's future. If it is possible, I want to continue to build a lasting basis for U.S.-Soviet cooperation for a more peaceful future for all mankind. The triumph of democratic ideas in Eastern Europe and Latin America, and the continuing struggle for freedom elsewhere, all around the world, all confirm the wisdom of our nation's founders. Tonight, we work to achieve another victory, a victory over tyranny and savage aggression.
And on that note, I bid everyone a fine adieu. Tune in tomorrow for the Fourth Branch. We'll be talking to you soon here on Truth Emerges Radio. We love you guys. Peace out.